Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 113 of Spittin' Chicklets, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Let's say hello to the fellas this evening. First, we'll go to our producer down in New York City, Mikey Grinnelli. What's up, buddy?
Hello, gentlemen. Tough night to be a Bruins fan.
Ugh, ugly start. We'll get to that in a few. Buddy Mariah Whitney on the outskirts of Boston. What's up, pal?
How are you, Bruins fans? Suck on that one. Holy shit. Nice job, RA. Holy fuck.
Suck on that goose egg. And finally, a boy who's in the Big D right now. He's in Dallas for the Coyotes opener tomorrow night. What's up, Biz?
Not bad, boys. Went for a coffee this morning, drove to the airport, jumped on a private plane, not a big deal. Got the filet on board. I think a few of the Stewies.
I want to go on one so bad.
I think a few of the Stewies were upset at my farts, but hey, you know, that's what happens when you eat filet a mile high in the sky. But boys, Yotes are going to win the cup. It's over. Let's just fucking pack it in. Do we even need to do the rest of the podcast, or we just end it here?
Biz, I've had a couple of texts from former players like, is Biz legit? Like, why does he keep picking Coyotes players to win awards? Like, is he that dumb? I'm like, no, he really believes it.
Oh, they were talking to the guy who sucks 100% the most on this podcast at making predictions. And they were, you guys kind of collectively chirped me. Oh, interesting.
I was almost sent to chirp and like laughed at it and went with it as opposed to like backing you up.
You were like, your buddies are like Meek Mill's buddies when Drake roasted him in the fucking freestyle rap or whatever. And they're like, you got him, man. Yeah, that guy's an idiot. Yotes are fucking – they might not even lose a game this year.
Biz, we got a little something in common with the NHL though now, no?
All right, that's kind of a funny story that you bring up. Because New Amsterdam Vodka wanted to announce their partnership with the NHL. And we actually found out first that they were going to be sponsoring our podcast. And Gary Bettman, I think, called New Amsterdam Vodka and put a Nix on it. And Gary, you know what? That's cool. You know, we don't mind. We're still going to enjoy the sponsorship. We're not going to get greedy. We're going to share all the fucking page views and whatever you guys call it down to the Barstool offices. We're going to share that with you, Gary. But we know the Spittin' Chicklets brand's popping off. And I know you hear our footsteps. So keep your head up, Gary.
Yeah, no, but
so send Wilson off to you.
Essentially, I'll decipher for our listeners. Basically, we have the same sponsor as the NHL, which I think is pretty cool to see our new logo on iTunes. If you check it out, it's got the New Amsterdam Vodka logo right on it. It's pretty good to look at. So we're happy to do a sponsorship with them.
You like looking at it?
I do. It's
sexy.
It's real clean looking.
It does look just fresh.
When they talked about the logo integration.
How many times do you do that in the mirror today?
1,000 on the private jet.
On a private jet.
A small bathroom. So I didn't go
over just to make sure.
But all right, did you do your homework? Did you have a pink lemonade in New Amsterdam vodka that Witt was talking about?
I haven't yet. No, lemonade really not that time of the season. But like I said, I like it on the box.
So you didn't do your homework.
Maybe
that was the one thing you had to do.
Yep.
It's like the hockey version of the Arnold Palmer. Fuck.
No, Palmer.
I got integrated.
Arnold.
Christ.
Hey, not to be that kid in the class that's like, oh, I did the homework, but I did do the homework.
Whoa.
And I tried a lemonade, pink lemonade in New Amsterdam vodka, and I must say, Whit, fantastic.
Come on, really? Did you?
Absolutely.
What did you think that I'm giving out drinks that aren't good? I mean, like.
Yeah, but when did you try it? Where were you? At home?
Last night.
How many did you have?
Sent me a picture of it, too.
Is it a one-off, or is it one that you can kind of go all night with?
Oh, all night. All night, you get that little buzz.
Yeah? Not too much sugar?
A lot of sugar, dude.
That's a lot of sugar.
You're already falling out.
Pimples on your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Next to his Plymouth State tattoo.
No. You have a tattoo of Plymouth State on your ass?
You didn't see it when he showed us over Warrior?
What ass?
Well, I have a fantastic ass.
Grinnelli goes from his lower back into his calves.
I'm not one to talk.
This is shenanigans. I actually have a fantastic ass.
Oh, yeah.
Get up.
Come on, man. You couldn't even get laid when you spent $4,000 at a club.
I absolutely do.
You got like backwards knees.
Hey, you don't put bumper stickers on a Ferrari unless it's a Grinnelli Ferrari.
Okay. Hey, how long did you practice that one in the mirror? Mr. Integrate.
That's pretty good, actually.
I've been saying that one since high school.
Hey, I have a bone to pick with you that you left in the one when I fucked up with RA trying to read that ad.
No, that had to be kept in. He told me that. That's funny, funny.
I was frustrated. I almost chucked the chair at my rental place that I'm renting. I didn't. That's the only thing that held me back. What?
Any vibe from the fellas, like first flight out? You know, you're so fired up to begin the year. This actually makes me really miss playing hockey, like opening night. Camp's over. You finally get the squad that you're going to have, especially going on the road, just getting on the jet with the fellas on the Coyotes, just fired up.
Hey, before we get to the season kicking off, we do want to mention that we're bringing on Scott Hartnell a little later. He just retired or just announced his retirement this week.
Hartnell?
Yeah, you got
it. I think I heard Scott.
Hartnell. Scott Hartnell.
I'm rubbing off on you guys.
Scott Hartnell. Yeah, Wits and Biz.
We're not the name podcast.
Wits and Biz Gog were able to interview him kind of spur of the moment the other night. They got some good time with him. Hartnell was, I thought, a great player. I hated him early in his career. I should say when he ended up in Philly, he was a typical Philly scumbag, I guess. But I grew to like him. He was a hell of a player. Could put 30 goals up on you. Be a thorn in your side. It seems like every fucking one of his teammates loved him. Everybody on Instagram, Twitter was raving about him. You know,
yeah, Bird Dog.
17 seasons, you know, Nashville, Philly, Columbus. He played for those three teams. Just like a well-liked guy. Hell of a player, hell of a teammate. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys had to say with him later.
I would say as far as new school Flyers, other than like the Broad Street Bullies, he's like the prototypical Philadelphia Flyer. I mean, Wayne Simmonds kind of in that realm, but Hartnell in his prime was probably fighting a lot more than Simmonds was. And it was still a man's game back then.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting to hear him say also that he considers it entertainment. I mean, like, I think there's a lot of times when he loved being a part of the sideshow. And Biz, you went into it with, was it Malcolmania? We'll go into that. But it was a great interview. And the Foligno story that was tweeted out that you'll hear is very, very disgusting.
And speaking of, well, red-bearded fellas from Philly, Wits, have you seen Gritty's Pizza Review at El Prez yet?
No, I haven't. Good?
Classic. Oh. It's classic stuff.
Whoa. Speaking of that guy, I fucking was
that digging. That junk box.
But I was digging up some dirt on him. Gritty. Fucking three kids with three different women. Doesn't pay a fucking cent in child support. That scumbag. Seriously. I think it was on NBC's website.
Let me show you my surprise face.
Man, I don't mean to laugh. That's bullshit, though. Like, I mean, how could the Flyers hire such a scumbag, Whip?
That's what I'm wondering. To take everyone's, you know, eyes off what could be a gong show. Actually, I think their team's pretty sick. Either way, they just wanted to get a scumbag mascot, and it worked out perfect. His googly eyes, Riggs. He's also a monster. He looks like he's about 6'8".
He's huge.
He's inbred. He's a little inbred, isn't he? You know what he looks like? He looks like
He drinks honeydew, 100%. You guys know honeydew donuts? It's for straight trash people.
He looks like the big Goliath guy from Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but with a little bit more inbred in him. Doesn't he?
Did he have anything to say to you, Grinnelli?
No, he didn't have anything to say to me. He went over and patted Za on the head, and I know that's a thing you're not supposed to do with little people, so Za wasn't happy with it. So I think Za was going to take him out.
Wait, Grinnell, and you're not going to tell about how he took our New Amsterdam vodka? He took the full case that was for us, and then they found all the empties out in the back. He's a drunk.
Yeah, he's definitely a drunk. That's the problem.
He's a fucking drunk, dude. He took our stash of New Amsterdam vodka.
Apparently,
You know what he didn't do? Drink responsibly. That's the one fucking thing they told us to tell everyone was to drink responsibly. And this fucking guy goes and drinks an entire case. He's a scumbag.
He's brushing his teeth with New Amsterdam vodka. That's probably not the best look. That's why he's gritty. There's also the eye in the sky cameras at Barstool. And apparently one of them, you see him just rifling through people's drawers looking for pill bottles and shit. I'm telling you, he's a junk box.
Oh, my God. Honestly, like, listen, it was funny to start maybe a little bit, but they like NHL's got to get involved.
First mascot. Like, has a mascot ever attacked a fan, like, legit with a knife?
Oh, I heard another rumor too, and it's probably true. It's got to be true. He fucking crushed one of the other mascots' mascot girlfriends.
Philly fanatic. He was dating some complete pig. And Gritty's all up in that now.
No.
It's bad, dude.
What?
The Fanatic, they met the other day, and now the Fanatic wants him.
Whoa. Oh, so he probably followed Fanatic's girl on Instagram, slid in the fucking DMs because he's the new hottest mascot in town, and then smashed her? Oh, my God.
Tell me about the beginning of the season.
Philadelphia, you should be disgusted with yourself.
It's always scummy in Philadelphia. All right, moving along.
Let's move along.
Huge news today.
It's got to give him any more airtime.
Huge news today. Tom Wilson, 20 games he got for the hit the other day that we discussed. That's fucking a huge sentence. I mean, this is obviously the league telling Tom Wilson, okay, are you going to fucking listen to us now? Because you haven't yet. I mean, that's a huge
suspension. I don't know if you watched the beginning of the game when they did the celebration, the ceremony. They brought him out in a fucking straitjacket. Tom Wilson. Did you see it, Whit? They wheeled him out like fucking Hannibal Lecter.
Why do you have all this gear on?
Well, they...
Like, you don't have to chuck your shoulder pads on.
Well, no, I mean, he must have feel part of the celebration. And it was a pretty cool picture around the banner as well.
So how about all of us thinking that it wasn't that dirty of a hit? 20 games
well,
for it.
I think because, what's you know, what, 20 years ago, that wasn't considered a dirty hit. It was
a good, hard
hockey play. And like you said, we didn't really, break it down. It happened right before we started recording. We kind of just took a peek at it, and we probably didn't factor in, this is Tom Wilson. They're going to throw the book at him. Well, Biz did. Biz called for a suspension. But
I thought he was going to get – I said 3 games. I was kind of just being conservative in the middle. I thought maybe worse. I was texting with Ryan Reeves, and he seemed to think he was going to get double digits. I said probably 8. But now saying that, boys, I haven't seen the other angle yet. Was there another angle, or because of preseason, they didn't have enough cameras in the
building? I'll tell you, the angle that spoke to me was that dude's face.
Oof.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and a lot of people use that as like evidence, which, he obviously got hit in the face, but that doesn't necessarily mean it was the principal point of contact. It still could have been – he could have been hit elsewhere, and then on the follow-through, it caught him in the face. I honestly couldn't tell. It happened. I watched it a few times. I couldn't tell where the principal point of contact was, to be honest with you.
I don't remember exactly what I said, but I do think the guy's cutting across the middle with his head down. That's stupid, but – having said that, you can't hit people like that anymore. So even though you want to blame the player for kind of putting himself in harm's way, I'm talking Sundqvist, is that his name? Wilson, it's his fourth suspension in 105 games.
I'm trying to find excuses for it. No, but I'll say this.
That's the final, 7-0 Washington.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, they kicked the extra point.
So
he's already dead.
4 suspensions in 105 games. By the way, boys, 1.2 million. I think he loses
close to 1.3. I believe.
So he got a check for $5 million on July 1st when he signed.
His fucking agent's the Hamburglar, man. Great job for that guy. Proud of him.
But it's still, he's not getting one paycheck the whole year. Doesn't matter, right? He's already got $5 million in there. Who cares? It's just every 2 weeks you don't see a thing again.
I'll say this is I'm usually pretty positive with Wilson. This is the only negative I have to say about the hit is
preseason.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessary. Yeah. Second of all, in today's game, chances are if you rock a guy open ice, you're probably going to be sitting for games. And last but not least, I think that this one was tacked on for all the times they quote-unquote couldn't get him. Like playoffs, the borderline ones. This was one just saying, hey, dude, you can't be the new Rafi Torres. Change it up. My biggest fear for him going forward is, do you think he goes another 4 years without doing something similar to this?
They're hoping for 40 games.
Right. So now what? If he does the exact same hit, is that a 40 gamer now? They're going to have to, right? They have to double down. Rafi Torres got doubled down.
I don't remember or know that when you finally, what you've done in previous time or years comes off your record, kind of. I think at one point, if you're not suspended for a certain amount of time, you're then
clear. Yeah, you get a clean record.
You're not a repeat offender. Yeah. But he might need he might need like 25 years until he. I don't think he could last long enough in the league for them not to consider him.
So you're saying like Tom Wilson's like the 80-year-old driver where they're like, sir, like you literally get an accident every week. Like we cannot insure.
No, Tom Wilson's coaching in 50 years and just like saying fuck you to the ref instead of getting a bench minor. He gets like a 17-game suspension. They're like, you still haven't changed, Wilson. Fuck.
I just feel listen, I know him personally. He's such a fucking great guy. I know a lot of people hate his guts. It's just I hate talking about this shit. I just want to talk about function. I want to talk about guys getting their deeks wet at the fucking rookie parties with the rooshkies. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. We hate talking about this shit. I mean, we obviously have to, but yeah, he did a bad thing and the league fucking gets sick of it. And like you said, Biz, it's an exhibition game and it's also St. Louis. It's not even a guy he has a beef with. You know, it's like, you wonder if guys like that, when they see an opportunity for the hit, they almost can't control themselves. Yes, like their eyes just light up and they, you know, like, why is he going to bury that guy? Like not a rival, not a team, not a player, you know, he just, no need for it.
Can we all agree on that 20 is excessive?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit.
I think 8 would have been – I would have been fine with, like, 8 to 10.
If I heard 14, I'd be like, oh, they kind of got that right. It's a lot, but, hey, needed it. 20, that extra 6. 20 is – it's a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
Well, they had – I mean, like I said –
That would have been half of my season.
They had to send a message, though. They don't think you got it. I mean, he was just suspended in the goddamn, second round of the playoffs. He played
105 games. It was his fourth.
15 games he played, I think, in between suspensions. So
plead the fifth.
You know, we'll see if he learns his lesson. Who got that? Who got Rafi Torres got that? Yeah, huge
but he got a 41 gamer in fucking preseason. What are you doing, Raf?
It was preseason.
It was okay. So he got the 15 gamer for
Hosa. Was that the Hosa one?
Keep in mind, we were in playoffs. So that's like you murdered someone's family.
That's 30.
And then the next one, he smoked someone. I want to say he got someone from the Ducks when he was with San Jose.
Preseason.
It was very, very similar. I would say it was worse than Wilson's. It was less of a hockey play than Wilson's. And when he did it, I was like, oh, no. That was basically the end of him. 40 fucking gamers in preseason. I think he might have given up I think similar or maybe a little bit more than what Wilson gave up in salary, which makes me sick to my stomach. Boys, we're talking about the Chicklets bump. Did we already mention Jack Eichel getting the C?
Oh, Marshawn chucking him. Lars Eller and Marshawn.
Well,
should I play-by-play this? Oh, Eller throws a right. Marshawn, two rights. Boom, boom. Down goes Eller.
Not bad. Not a bad fight call, Witt.
Fight call. Jabs by Marshawn. Big, big. I see. Is that blood on the ice?
Witt.
Hey, Marshy.
I was in the midst of saying the Chicklets bump. Austin Matthews just scored the was it the OT winner?
Yes. Austin Matthews.
Oh, wow. OT winner. Two tonight. Chicklets bump. Tonight. Fucking rights, boys. The Chicklets bump is going.
Big day for Chicklets, boys.
Holy cow. Hey, yeah, a little quick pat of the back. Oh, boys, he sent me a DM because I reposted an Instagram photo of my buddy saying congrats to Spittin' Chicklets, who are number one overall podcast on iTunes in all of Canada. And Austin Matthews DM'd me last night saying, hey, where's my check, my royalty check? And I said, I'll tell the boys on the pod. So, Austin, congrats on the two tucks tonight. In his three opening games of the season, I think now he's at 7 total goals.
Oh yeah, 4. Wow.
Wait, math's tough for me. Yep. Yeah, he's got 7 in his first 3. So
yeah, so
Austin, you're welcome.
The league
beats getting the first one out of the way quick too.
Yeah. So anyways, the league opened up tonight. Montreal, Toronto was the first game. The Leafs did win that, like we just said, 3-2 in overtime. I know a lot of people like the Leafs in the puck line, Wits. Like I said, that payoff was only $1.25 return. Too low. It's not worth it. It's too hard to win by 2 goals in the NHL. So if it happens, I want more than 125 back.
I took them both ways. So,
okay. So you're a little
I think I'm actually a loser.
So there's a different strategy to gambling in hockey, RA. Can you explain that for listeners that wouldn't know that? Like, I don't gamble hockey. Give me the gist.
Absolutely. Now, the main line is the money line. It's similar to baseball. You're just betting the team to win. For example, tonight, Washington, they were, I believe, 140. So you had to put up 140 to make 100 on the Capitals tonight. Conversely, if you take the Bruins, you put 100 on the Bruins, you would get back 120 as the underdog. But there's also what's called the puck line, and me and Witz are a big fan of the puck line. The puck line is when you lay a goal and a half. You're basically saying, the team's going to cover by two or more goals.
Wow.
Tonight. You're not betting them just to win.
So a lot of time you're relying on the empty netter.
Exactly. What we call it, I call it the Our Blessed Lady of the Unguided Cage.
Yeah, that's not a we. That's a him.
You call it the what? You call it the what?
We, my fellow internet people, I guess. Sorry, sorry for including you. But it's a puck line, and you live by the empty net, you die by the empty net.
What's the name of it again? Repeat it.
Our Blessed Lady of the Unguided Cage. It's like a goof on, you know, churches, but Witz apparently doesn't worship there, so.
Okay, so more times than not, you're hoping that they score in it, on it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean.
Yeah, you're never betting plus 1.5 in hockey. At least I don't.
Yeah, some guys do it. It's probably the worst bet.
No sense. So, Biz, if you wanted to bet that the Maple Leafs could lose by one, right, and you'd still win, you'd have to bet like 350 to win 100 or 400 sometimes to win 100. So I don't know why people do that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're betting a team to lose by a goal, then you obviously think it's going to be a close game. So why not, you know, for fucking putting up 350 to make 100? It's just, I don't know, not a smart bet. So, yeah, Paul, basically, there's two main bets, the money line and the puck line. And, yeah, the puck line, if you're up a goal and you got the pulled goalie, man, I fucking lose the rest of my hair following those type of games.
I'm starting to lean so much more towards money line because of the fact that when it goes to overtime, I'm still alive. It sucks when you have the puck line and it goes to OT and you're just like, well, I'm going to bed. I don't even give a shit who scores. Drives me crazy.
And there's not worse. It was two seasons ago. I was actually winning. I think it was Tampa. They were up two. Carolina scored with 0.1 second left. They fucking scored to screw me. So one thing about the Capitals Bruins tonight, we don't have to worry about any pulled goalies tonight, huh? 7-0 with about less than 5 minutes left in this game. What a disaster.
And when the team, like the Bruins, has to sit in the room, I mean, it's like a 35-minute presentation, 40 minutes sometimes, where they're coming out and they, you know, Washington comes out, Ovi comes out, skates around with the cup, the banner gets raised, pictures are taken, everyone's announced, and the Bruins are just sitting there, and this is after warm-up. So obviously it's a kind of a hard game to plan. Another team's home opener. I think the Bruins have two more home openers. But still, no excuse. I mean, they got ran out of the building. It could have been – people were bitching about Rask. It could have been 6-0 in the first period. But definitely not the way you want to start the season.
Yeah, I think I want to mute fucking Rask on Twitter. Just like you said, the two goals. It was a fucking Oshie one time from the dot wide open, and then a bouncing puck out front, and people are already blaming him. I said, I'm not even going to look at Twitter. He wasn't great, but Halak actually made a couple of fantastic saves. I guarantee they're going to try to pretend there's a goalie controversy in this town soon enough. So tough night for the boys tonight. Like I said, we're hearing about Halak versus Rask soon enough. Before we go any further, I want to talk to you guys for a second about Tommy John. Because when it comes to below-the-belt comfort, there's a regular underwear, and then there's Tommy John, the revolutionary clothing brand that's redefined comfort for men and women everywhere. Let me put it to you this way. Tommy John doesn't give an F. They give three Fs: fabric, fit, and function. No lie, I've been on the Tommy Johns for about a year now. The most comfortable underwear I've ever worn as a guy. They keep everything nice and snug. There's the no-wedgie guarantee. Super soft, feather light, moisture wicking, breathable, comfortable, stay put waistbands, everything that you want in underwear and more. It means there's no bunching, no riding up. They also have the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. You can't beat that. Also, ladies, they just stocked up on underwear for you ladies. They sold out, but we got them back in stock. Again, give the three Fs about your underwear and upgrade with Tommy John today. So hurry to TommyJohn.com/chicklets for 20% off your order. That's TommyJohn.com/chicklets for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/chicklets. A couple more games on the schedule too. Calgary, Vancouver, and Anaheim, San Jose.
You see what Carlson was wearing coming into the game?
No.
He looked handsome.
Oh,
he's
my
all over,
God.
He's all over the internet. What do you mean he's all over Twitter, all right? How have you not seen it?
Because I've been watching. I have to watch the game on my phone right now, so I can't monitor Twitter at the same time.
Boys, we got to give a shout out to Johnny T scoring his first game as a Maple Leaf too. We can't forget that.
Shocker!
Nice play. Nice cut back to the middle. Great separation from the defender. He's He's a fucking beast.
I wonder if there were any walk-off celebrations tonight, a la Ryan Johansson the other night. How glorious was that?
Oh, my God. That was.
He looked like Keke Chuck when he's good, when they were going to Vegas now. Get us the fuck out of here.
Except it was regular season. I get Johansson's probably like, get me the fuck out
of here. That's what I was thinking. Johansson's like, get these skates off my feet right now. That doesn't even count for my season stats. I want to be out of this gear. It's wet, and I don't like Carolina.
Probably ruined his blades walking back to the fucking locker room. That was good stuff. Another quick note, Joe Thornton finally took off that fucking monstrosity of a beard. I don't know. I guess people thought it was a big deal. You guys, what's your take on it, Biz?
I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of it. Here's my pet peeve about facial hair in general. It looked like he just used the clippers and he didn't use a clean shave. Where I can't just use like a razor to get it down to like stubble and then not like, because then, you know, there's like some that are longer than others. No. I have to shave it with a Mach 4 or 5 every time.
Bugsy Malone's never shaved with a razor, he told me.
I don't think Teddy Purcell has either.
They only clean up with the trimmer, and I'm the same. I have some that are like 6 inches long that are probably coming out of my nose at this point. And I just need to go. I need to go Mach 4 or whatever it is. Mach 5. What is it now? Mach 8.
I think it's like Mach 8. But
ESPN the Ocho.
I'm happy he shaved it. I would beg him because I'm so OCD. I need him to shave it completely and start from scratch.
It was funny.
I think that there's some beards that guys can pull off some sick beards, but when it got scraggly, straggly, nasty. It was just gross. I mean, you can have like a long beard, and I think it can look decent on some dudes, but that thing was gross by the end.
And when I was looking for the pictures, I found a quote from Guy Lafleur 2 years ago. He actually said that Thornton's beard was a disgrace to hockey, like, and he wasn't even like being funny about
it. Shut up, Guy.
Hey, wait, time out. Hey, okay, so Guy Lafleur, like, obviously I respect what he's done, you know, cigarettes on the bench and everything. And I mean, that's pretty crazy that he could wheel around away out there the way he did, hacking butts.
The Rocket Richard, is that his name?
No, that was Guy Lafleur was the flower.
Oh, God.
Oh, who are we talking about?
No. Yeah, Guy Lafleur.
Oh.
Yeah, you're thinking of Maurice. You're going to get the Rocket Richard.
Can't wait. Keep it in, Grinnell. But Guy Lafleur is a little bit bitter, and I think he's upset that the guys who paved the way, so to speak, and they didn't get compensated the way these guys are now and didn't make the big bucks. And he's been very vocal about that. He's very negative when it comes to anything new school. Could you confirm that, R.A.?
The Rocket would never be like that. It is the flower.
Yes.
Yeah. He's just one of those, like you say, he's bitter. Like those guys. I mean, he was one of the best superstars of the 1970s, and he probably fucking laid brick in the summertime still because those guys made shit back then. And yeah, he's probably bitter. He's had some like questionable decisions too since he's retired. We don't have to get into it now because we're getting ready to wrap up here. But yeah, it was just kind of weird. You're picking on a guy for a beard. By the way, no one pulls off a beard better than John Travolta, for the record. One other thing.
Whoa. So random. Are we not going to call that out?
What?
What are we talking
John
about
Travolta?
Here? Yeah, he's, oh, let me guess. Right Eminem, too? You're going to pick Eminem for when a cool, awesome beard?
When does he have a beard, Travolta?
Right over your heads, that one. That one. When a gay guy's married to a woman and pretending he's heterosexual, the woman is called a beard.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah,
that's fuck. All right.
Need national treasure map to figure out half your fucking jokes. Yeah. What the hell's going on? I'm
sorry. I thought you were a little more in tune with the gay community, Paul.
I think right away that guy's gay, but I still didn't get the joke.
I do love the Pride Parade every year when it comes to Vancouver. R.A., you love doing those jokes because then there's like five people on Twitter that are big. All right, I got you.
Way more than five.
What?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, seven.
We need proof of how many people who listen to this, who heard that joke initially, got it. And I would say at least 95% of people didn't get that joke.
I don't know. I disagree. I think you guys
there's
a lot of references that you guys don't get because, you know, you guys were athletes. You were always playing sports and, you know, professional athletes. You weren't watching The Simpsons 25 years ago. You weren't catching every pop culture thing. I think you guys get it at a lower percentage because, you know, given your profession. But it's fun, man.
Nice way of saying we're fucking idiots. I think he's saying we're fucking idiots, Whit.
I say we're athletic but stupid.
I know I got an OHL education, R.A. You don't got to remind me. I don't know how to pronounce words.
I accepted a while ago on the podcast, Artie, Paul, that not all my shit is going to land with my co-host, but I just got to let, like, just ride with it, let it go, and then know that people out there listening and going
to
laugh.
All right. I love it. You're adding a different element to the pod. I love it.
Yeah. One other note, too. Seattle, who's basically going to get a team. They had another formality the other day. They presented before the Board of Governors, and I guess they blew everybody's socks off as far as how they're going to renovate the Key Arena. Basically all the where the money's going to come from. And the NHL was kind of blown away by it. It certainly looks like they're going to get a team. But there was one interesting note I did read, Paul. Pierre LeBrun speculated that the Arizona Coyotes would be the team to move to the Central, because if they can't get their arena situation settled, then Houston would be a viable option for relocation potentially in a couple of years. I thought that was an interesting note.
Here's why I'm pissed. But if that happens, more travel, and we don't get to hit California and Vancouver as much. So that's
and you'd be living in Houston.
No. You mean they would remain in Phoenix but move to the Central Division, correct?
No.
Arizona would.
Gonzo.
What would happen?
Grape.
Back it up.
Bye bye.
Fuck you, Grinnell. Don't wait.
See you later.
That'll get a bit.
Chop up my interview. I didn't even hear you say moving there. What do you mean?
No, what would happen the way Pierre LeBrun wrote it was that Seattle's going to begin play most likely in 2020.
Of course.
They'll be starting in the Pacific Division. They'll move Arizona to the Central. So Arizona will play as the Arizona Coyotes in the Central.
That's what I thought.
But if they don't resolve the arena situation and they get relocated to Houston, they'll already be in the Central Division.
Boys, we keep selling more Eagle Energy ad reads. I'll fucking buy the team myself. And speaking of that segue, you better fucking send the check, Eagle Energy, because that's a segue of the century.
Send me some more shit, too. I need it.
So, but on a serious note, fucking Eagle Energy's back in, boys. And I love our fans because they always send me DMs of them smoking. This stuff's great. All right, you like it, right?
Fucking right. I need some more.
Oh, you want another care package? Holy shit. You're just milking the fucking teat, aren't you? What about you, Grinnelli? You want some more?
Yeah, I could use some for the Barstool HQ.
Oh, Grinnelli was with Gritty all day. He's got the real shit.
We call that
crap. he was trying to light it on fire and smoke it. Fucking
Gritty, that's caffeine. You don't snort it.
Yeah, it's all natural caffeine, Gritty. He doesn't eat natural foods. That guy's a disgusting dumpster fire. Anyway, Eagle Energy is buzzing in the United States right now. Eagle Energy is getting a ton of messages from college students that want to be a part of the company. They are now offering partnerships with college students. They can gain marketing experience and make money selling the product. If they are interested, let them know, or let you guys know. They can email college@eagle.energy. So college@eagle.energy. If you don't know how to spell eagle.energy, then you have the same education as me. I'm going to add a swipe up tomorrow. And that's pretty much it, boys. They're back on board. We got New Amsterdam Vodka. We got the Herbal Active. We're buzzing, boys. We're buzzing.
Eagle Energy coming through for the fellas. And now we're going to go to, as RA calls him, Scott Hartnell. Scotty Hartnell, bird dog, legendary career.
This interview is brought to you by Felix Gray. What's up, gang? It's fantasy football season again. Even if you're just playing from your couch, you know how exhausting it can get to sit through the waiver wire, putting your winning lineup in. Especially like me, you get headaches or dry eyes from staring at the screen for hours. Not only that, you got probably 4 TVs going, your iPad, a phone. It's football season. Everybody's looking at everything. Stop torturing your eyeballs, though. You got to protect them with a pair of Felix Gray glasses. I just got mine the other day, and they're fantastic. I'm already feeling better. You put on a pair of Felix Gray glasses, it's hands down one of the best decisions you can make. Screens will kill your eyes. Felix Gray, nope, not anymore. They take care of you. They protect your eyes by filtering out 90% of the high-energy blue light and eliminate the glare coming off the screens. Felix Gray glasses are available in both non-prescription and prescription. They're handcrafted from premium Italian acetate. And Felix Gray glasses don't have that weird yellow tint that lets everyone know you're wearing computer glasses. You look like Tackleberry in Police Academy. Don't want that. As far as everyone knows, you're just a sophisticated dude with glasses on. I personally have the lighter color, something different. You know, these aren't shades you're wearing all the time, so you can kind of mix it up, get a little fancy with them if you want. If you like getting stylish, try them out. That's what I do with my Felix Grays, and they don't break the bank. The best part, no more dry eyes, no more blurry vision, and no more stress headaches. Order your Felix Grays today. Shipping and returns are free. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/chicklets. That's felixgrayglasses.com/chicklets to protect your eyes with a pair of Felix Gray glasses. One more time, felixgrayglasses.com/chicklets. That's C-H-I-C-L-E-T-S.
I want to welcome a very special guy to the podcast. And fuck, man, newly retired.
What a run.
What a run. The game has lost a legend. Originally drafted in the 2000 NHL entry draft, sixth overall to the
Nashville.
What a
dinosaur.
What a dinosaur. Jesus Christ. Nashville Predators picked him sixth overall. He ended up playing close to 1,300 games in the National Hockey League. Just a fucking warrior. You look at his penalty minutes, his goals. He is a fucking throwback, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Hartnell, welcome to the Spit and Chicklets podcast, and congratulations on a hell of a career, my friend.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate you having me on here. I feel honored.
Hearts, yeah, thank you very much. This is going to be big. I mean, it was a big deal when you announced your retirement the other day. And as, you know, Biz and I have gone through it, we're wondering your thoughts right now. Are you happy? A little sad? Is it just reflection? I mean, I'm sure you've had a ton of drinks. I know you. I know that you're a beauty. So give us where your brain's at now.
Well, I did blow you guys off yesterday because I had a little toot on last night with some friends that came over, and so I apologize for that. But yeah, yesterday was, you know, I kind of knew it was coming the last, you know, a couple months. But, you know, when I sent a text to my parents just before I, you know, put it on social media, just not that they have Twitter or anything like that, but you know, I got a little choked up, and, you know, I called them and just kind of, you know, had a nice little talk with them. And you know, just kind of reading through tweets and, you know, things like that. The last day and a half, it's been pretty unreal. Touched a lot of lives, you know, made a lot of people happy. And Rick, it's been 18 years and so not a bad run for a kid who couldn't stand up and skate.
Yeah, I only got 200 games. You got fucking nearly,
I think he has double me and you combined.
Oh, that's
your 200 is like 2,000 the way you played, Biz.
Thank you. Hey, you always know who like the great guys were when every single guy they've ever played with sends out a tweet. And our producer here found one that was pretty fucking disturbing, and you confirmed it. Grinnell, you want to read it?
Yeah, so Nick Foligno sent out a tweet to you, Scott, and he said, at the bottom of the message, he said, P.S., I'll never forgive you for making me sick and having to miss a game from one of your disgusting farts. You quote tweeted it and said, very true story. I love you so much. So what's the backstory behind this?
Well, I've kind of, I guess, always had a bad ass, I guess, and a lot of gas. And unfortunately, I didn't play with you guys for you guys to experience. But on the planes, you're playing cards, and, you know, everyone is like, holy shit, Hartsy. I'm like, is that you again? I'm like, yep. And
never denied one.
Oh, no, never. You got to be proud of that power that you have. But with Nick, we were, I think, flying into Detroit, and, you know, it's kind of a cold, so I blame it on the cold weather. But, you know, I just had it was kind of an unusual case of just bad gas, I guess. And he was swearing at me. He's like, don't do it again. And he woke up in the morning or whatever, and he, like, literally couldn't get out of bed. Trainers were up there. They tried to get him an IV to play that game, but he said he just couldn't do it. So he blamed it on my fart that put him out for a game. So I guess I do have some unbelievable power down there.
Jesus, you give him an airborne bug via fart that crawled into his soul and died, and then he had to miss an NHL game. Jesus Christ. Hearts, I want to talk about your guys' rivalry between Philly and Pittsburgh, and specifically the one time with Malkomania, and how entertaining that type of shit was that you brought to the game.
Yeah, I think that was right before game 81 or 82 when we were playing them that playoffs. And, you know, this guy, obviously, he's dressed up like Malkin or like Hulk Hogan, but had the Malkomania shirt on, and, you know, was just, you know, being a nuisance all game long. And I think we're up a bunch of goals that game, and You know, I did the old Hulk Hogan, can you hear me now? And pretty cool picture. I don't know, one of the photographers got it at the right time. And, you know, it was pretty, I loved having fun with the fans. I loved, kind of interacting with them. They're there to watch us. We're there to put on a show for them. And, you know, that interaction was pretty cool. And, you know, unfortunately the Twitter fans from Pittsburgh, you know, I didn't know the guy was a cancer survivor, you know, and then they're like, oh, way to go making fun of a cancer survivor. And I'm like, I'm not making fun of him. I'm having a great time with him. I'm sure he loved it, you know? And unfortunately I heard that he passed away a couple of years ago. So, sad to hear a great fan like that.
He had your back. He had your back on it. He said we were just having some fun. I mean, how would you know? Yeah. And it, like you said, it's a pretty iconic picture. Yeah. We'll have Grinnelli send it up, when we post this interview on Thursday.
Cool.
Hey, so Hartz, I mean, everyone who ever played against you or watched you know you played a certain style. You were in people's face. You were always involved after the whistles, just blocking shots, scoring dirty goals, everything it took to be kind of the ultimate team player. And I look at your penalty minutes, and they were always up over 100 when you get drafted in Nashville and in Columbus. But in Philly, it was always around 150, 160. What made you just act that much more ridiculous in the Flyers uni?
I don't know. I you hear the Broad Street Bullies, and it just kind of gets tapped right into your blood as soon as you throw that orange jersey on. And it was like, oh, I had to do at least a few 10-minute misconduct ducks help during the year. So just a couple times on a blowout or a whatever game, it was like, you know, you tell the ref where to go and how to get there, and get a 10. They're like, oh, that helps the old Pims. I'm sure you've done that too, Biz. But so it's pretty,
I used to
pretty
beg
funny
from, him from the bench.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
hey, give me a 10. Give me a 10. Say abusive official or something. Just give me a 10. No.
That's great.
Hartz, I want to talk about those glory days in Philadelphia. Those must have been a fucking time. Like your squad, Mike Richards, Daniel Briere, Knubel, Jeff Carter, RJ Umberger, Joffrey Lupul. Oh man, Braden Coburn's an awesome guy. Scotty Upshaw. Just talk about that team and the times you guys had.
Yeah, the Updog. What a beauty. I don't know if you guys had him. He's got
what a guy's guy. Stories for a
long. Oh, I know, right? But yeah, those guys you mentioned, it was, we had a young team. We had a lot of guys that were, single at the time. We had a lot of fun. It was, one guy's like, hey, we're going here. And next thing you know, there was, 14, 15 guys going, and, we'd have a great night, and, we'd put on our, skates and go work in the next day. It was, you had fun off the ice and play hard and work hard as well. So it was, just a great group of guys and we found chemistry. It was just a great time. And Philadelphia, is just a great hockey market, and just loved being a Flyer for the 7 years that I was, and, just enjoyed it very much.
So I, a complete band-aid, couldn't stay healthy to save my life. And I look at you, the amount of games you played is just ridiculous. Over 1200, like Biz said, you must've got lucky with injuries, especially the way you played. Did you ever suffer anything bad in any of those seasons? It was always a high number of games played.
Yeah. I broke my right foot twice, where I missed like probably 4 to 5 weeks in two different seasons. I had a high ankle sprain, which is, I don't know if you've ever had one of those, but it was painful. And, when you come back, you'd sprain it every other time you're on the ice. So that was kind of probably the most nasty one. And a couple concussions early on, having your head down, going through the middle of the ice. And so anyways, after a couple of those, I'm like, okay, I better pick my head up and watch where I'm going out there. So, but yeah, for the most part, it was, I've been healthy, I wouldn't say I took care of myself like the guys do nowadays, but, just was able to sneak away and avoid, those big knee injuries or a shoulder or one that just keeps nagging on and on.
Hartz, so, who's the one guy? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Who's the one guy that you played against for a long period of time who on the ice you fucking hated? And it was every game you guys played against each other, you knew it was going to be a battle. And it has that rivalry left the ice.
I don't even want to give the guy more credit than he tries to get with his books and everybody. But Sean Avery, he's probably the biggest donkey out there. I don't know him off the ice, but I heard he's a real great guy. But, you know, playing against him, it was always just like, you know, he's always chirping. He's always in your face. He's always asking you to go, and then you drop your mitts and he skates away. And it's like, oh, there he goes again. So it was just one of those guys that was like, you didn't know what you were going to get. And, you know, I pumped him a couple times. And
I saw the one. You gave it to him pretty good.
Yeah, so it's funny how, you know, you talk the talk, but you have to come answer sometimes. And most of the time he wasn't there, but so that's a little shot at Avery there. But no, he was, but it was fun too. It's fun to get chirped. It's fun to, you know, get right back after him. And, you know, probably a guy on every team, you know, if you look back at, man, I hated that guy. And, you know, I'm sure he said the same thing about me.
Yeah, that's exactly the guy you want to have on your team, that you despise playing against them. Explain to me Hartnell down for people who don't know. I think, did your teammates let it be known that you were falling down quite often, or where did that all begin?
Well, it was a fan, if you believe it or not, that in Philadelphia, and he was on the road the first time I ever saw this sign, you know, bristleboard sign, homemade, said Hartnell down on it, and it said 148 on it, and I'm sitting around in warm up, and I think we're in Phoenix, and I'm like, what the heck does this sign mean? I'm like, Hartnell down 148, that's weird. You know, and then like four games later in Anaheim, it was Hartnell down 162, and I'm like, why is it going up? Like, you know, usually the countdowns go down. And so anyways, I sent Nasty, our trainer, to go ask this guy during warm up what the sign means. So he, you know, gets up, runs around the rink, and he comes back in and he starts giggling and I'm, you know, now in the intermission to get ready for the first period, and he's like kind of waving me over. And so I step out of the room in the change room, and he goes, you're never going to believe this. And he starts giggling. I'm like, what? He goes, this guy counts how many times you fall down on the ice a game. And he goes, sometimes it's like five or six or seven times a game. You know, sometimes you're on your feet and you're doing good, but the other times it's like 10. And so anyways, he watches every single game and has a little puncher and counts how many times you fall down. And I'm like, this a-hole. I'm like, what?
A bouncer puncher. Counting the people exactly. Coming to the bar.
Hey, and you know for exactly. a fact, every fall the rest of the year, you're like, motherfucker's writing it down. The number just went up.
100%. So anyways, I got a hold of this guy, and I was like, this is kind of funny. And I was talking to my agent and his wife, and she's like, she's just hysterically laughing. And she goes, wouldn't that be funny if, like, we made T-shirts and you know, just put them on, you know, a website and just, you know, sell these 500 T-shirts and, you know, we'll just give the money away, right? And so I was like, well, I'll tweet the website. And, like, so she got the Hartnell Down website. She, you know, made 500 shirts and boom, one tweet. And, you know, and she has the alerts on her phone. It's like, ding, 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 ding. 500 sold, like, in, like, five minutes. Man. And she's like, oh, man, I better order, you know. So she ordered, like, 2,500 shirts. And, you know, oh, things are restocked. Ding, 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 ding. Like, everything gone again. I'm like, she's like, we just made, like, you know, $20,000 or whatever. Like, she's like, let's maybe kind of get this into something. So we started the Hartnell Down Foundation. We took some kids from Philadelphia, flights, to go to these camps in Minnesota, the Minnesota hockey camps, where I was taking part myself to, you know, prepare for the next upcoming season in August for a couple weeks. These kids would come in and, you know, they're having like the time of their life. They've never left like their, you know, city blocks in Philadelphia. Now they're on a flight, Minnesota, meeting people from all over the world, and just seeing that, like, just touched my heart. I was like, wow, this could be something big. And anyway, it just kind of got bigger and bigger. I wrote a children's book. I don't know if you guys read it. I'll sign you a copy after the podcast here.
That's actually probably my reading level. So I'll definitely read it. I could probably finish a book for once.
Yeah, so anyway, long story short, it turned into something that was pretty neat, and I was really proud of, and you know, I think changed a lot of kids' lives.
That's amazing. That's a great, and you're still obviously continuing the foundation and everything.
Yeah. We had 40, I think around 40 kids this year come from Columbus. They all jumped in one big bus, and it's like a 15-hour drive, and they get up there and, you know, they're whacking the puck around. It's like a whole day's, you know, they're on the ice twice a day. They have off ice training twice a day. They got nutrition, you know, there's food. It's quite the intense little camp. And you know, I loved it when I was playing. It's like a little kind of a boot camp to get your ass in gear for training camp. And these kids are out there just doing what the pros are doing and, just absolutely love it.
I want to transition out of that, into the time that you threw your glove to Bugsy Malone on a breakaway in a hockey game. What, like how much shit did you get in the locker room after that?
Were you playing that game?
Yes.
I don't know what your dressing room was thinking, but so I don't know if you've seen the whole shift, but I was out there for probably a minute and a half. So I'm sure you guys have been at this point as well, but when you get tired, you get stupid. And that's when I, you know, take the stupid penalties, you know, you do stupid stuff out there. I was in overtime, or no, it was 15 seconds to go in the game. I've been out there, you know, trying to, you know, get the goal right, you know, be the hero at the end of the game, and drop my stick, and I go down to pick it up. I'm straight legging it. I'm in the corner, farthest place away from the bench, and Bugsy comes by and sticks out a skate and kicks it just like 6 inches away from my glove, but I couldn't move my hand to go pick it up, and I'm like, oh, I'll just start skating. I'm just skating so slow towards the bench. Anyways, I think our D-man coughed it up, and he's on a breakaway, so I can't go change, obviously, and I got no stick because this bugger just kicked it away from my glove. And so I'm like, you know, I just think like, oh, it's the last ditch effort to, you know, stop him from scoring. So I just, I don't know, let her fly, and I didn't know what the rule was, right? Next thing you know, he missed the breakaway, missed the penalty shot. I still didn't even look up. I was so goddamn tired. And I didn't get a shift.
He missed
in overtime,
both.
But I was, he did, yeah. Thank God.
Oh, man. And you guys end up pulling it off?
Yeah, we ended up winning in overtime. I think he actually took a penalty in overtime, and we scored on the power play. So I loved it.
So the boys were having a good laugh.
Tough 2 minutes for Malone.
Oh, yeah. Great. Great story.
Hey, so I wanted to go into the beginning of your career, and Nashville Predators picked you. Not even chirping you, it just seems so long ago, 2000, 2001. Who were some of the vets on that team? You made it as an 18-year-old too, didn't you?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Did you expect to when you went to camp?
You know, I was so young and naive, yeah. Right? I was the Hampton Inn beside the Centennial Sportsplex, and, you know, going out to eat, and, you know, I didn't, you know, have any concept of anything, money, nothing really, you know. And we got, you know, the per diem things, and it was like, you know, $300
free money
for 2 weeks, and I'm like, oh, this is amazing, like, let's go, like, I want dessert tonight, you know. I had no clue, right? But the veteran guys, Tom Fitzgerald was my first captain.
Wow.
In the NHL, Cliff Ronning, I played with him a little bit. That was pretty cool. Greg Johnson, Bill Holder,
Drake Berehowski.
Great. Yeah, he was there. But yeah, it was some guys, you know, some throwback names for sure, because no one's obviously playing anymore. But David Leguan, had a lot of fun with him as
what
well.
What was he so, like?
Leggy, he's funny bastard.
Is he?
David Leguan. No, he's the best.
Like, give me a Leguan story. Like, was he a bit of a space cadet? Like, was he, you know, was he the jokester?
Yeah. Well, my funniest story about Leggy, we were sitting there in Phoenix. I don't know why all the stories are in Phoenix, but we're sitting there around, you know, one of the pools or whatever at the hotel. And, you know, we had lunch, and Leggy was telling this story, and no one was really listening, but he thought it was like the funniest story. And Scotty Nickel was his roommate, and I'll never forget. Scotty goes, hey Leggy, he's like, you want to tell me that story tonight about 10:30? It'll put me right to sleep. And it was classic, and we just belly laughed for like 20 minutes, and we're like, oh my god, I'm gonna use that line so many more
times. Leggy pissed?
Than I did.
Was Leggy pissed?
No, he thought it was still the best story ever that he told. So that's So a lot of things like that from Leggy, but you know, he played the game hard and just an absolute beaut.
He's like, I don't need Ambien tonight. Just retell that awesome story.
Yeah, it was like a 5-minute long story and everyone was just yawning. And he just blurted that out. Scotty did. It was hilarious.
I was just going to ask, how was your relationship with Torts?
You know what? It was good. I'm not bullshitting or anything, but he's a great coach. He came in and within 2 weeks he had us all, you know, basically scared out of our minds that, oh my God, I don't want to screw up. I don't want to do this and change the mindset of the team of being, kind of a losing Blue Jackets kind of team. The whole history of the organization has been kind of, I don't even think they won a playoff game to that point. So he came in and just kind of whipped us all in shape mentally. You know, we were all out of shape. So he had the hardest practices going on. And, you know, as for him and I, our relationship, I think he really liked the way I played. I don't think he liked my penalties that I took. We kind of had it out a couple times, but, in a good way. And just talking to him yesterday, I just reached out and said, I appreciate the way that you coached me, the way you handled me, and I wish I would have had you a lot younger in my career just to learn how to play the right way. He doesn't take any crap. He tells it as it is, and that's the way it is, right? So, he's a good hockey man, and a good hockey mind. So,
have you? It's so early. I didn't do anything for quite a while, but have you thought about kind of what's next? If you want to stay in the game, and also, where are you going to be living for the most part now?
We're in Ohio right now, just outside of Columbus. Nice. Still got a lot of good buddies there. A lot of guys actually that played for the Jackets end up retiring there. It's a beautiful place to live. So we absolutely love it there. As for what I'm going to do, I got a 4.5-month-year-old son that we're going to be, that I love to kind of hang out with every day. So just kind of taking care of him and putting my feet up for a while here. But, you know, I think I'll get the itch here in a couple months to figure out something, whether it's, on TV with NHL Network or whatever. So I'm just excited to, be done. I haven't worked out in a month, month and a half. So I'm like, oh, I can already feel a little extra couple pounds coming in here. So I got to get back being active or doing something. So
I know it's hard. I'm like, oh God, if I'm going to drink beers every night, I think I have to do something during the day, but I hope I'm at NHL Network, during the season. I hope you, you'd be awesome at that. It'd be pretty fun to run into you there, but, I would relax for a little bit though. Take your time. Just enjoy what you've done.
Yeah, no, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Hearts. I got one last question for you before you go. I need this like oxygen to breathe. A Scotty Upshaw story. Your best one of your days in Philly. This guy listens to the pod every episode. So, and if there's two or three, you can just start rattling them.
I just love Scotty because he is the most caring, like emotional guy, and you know, one of those guys that I'll always be friends with. And, you know, if you don't talk for a month or two and you bump into him in the locker room, you know, in the hallway in the locker room, it's like, you know, he gives you a big hug. He has his hands on you. He's just very kind of touchy feely. And it's just very engaging. You know what I mean? And to see him do that at 12 o'clock at night at a local establishment to another lady. And it's like, like works every
it.
Time
just how, you get it
oh you know what I mean? Like it's just like oh my how does he do it I'm like oh that's how he does it you know so I love the guy. I don't want
whips
to give
out a massage
secrets.
Table in the bar.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah. Feet, oh yeah,
maybe a little body lotion,
just whips it right out. Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, have you seen my new Rolex?
he is the best though, one of the best guys I play with for sure.
dude, we can't thank you enough for coming on. I hope I know, you know, like playing against you, fuck, it sucks. So I think that's what every hockey player wishes people that played against them says. And congrats on a wonderful career. We appreciate you coming on. Biz has one more question for you.
Oh, yeah, Hearts. Remember the time when we were in AZ and I didn't get the puck out and you guys ended up buzzing around a little bit? And then after the shift, I snapped my stick over my knee and you just started fucking chirping me. You're like, oh, easy, tough guy, because I broke a fucking energy or whatever it was.
I remember like it was yesterday. Classic you, move.
You and
it's
you
hard
and
to Simmons. Do that. It's hard to do. People think, oh, the graphite sticks, they break easy. No, you got to actually just give it a good whack. I've done it one time and almost put myself out for a week because of my quad. But, it was pretty impressive, actually.
Hey, no, but you were laying into me, and that's when we were up 3-0, and then I fought Rosie, and then they ended up scoring 5 unanswered, or maybe it was 3-1.
Sick fight, Biz.
Yeah, way to get the boys going, Biz, and you guys are fucking giving it to me, and I couldn't do anything because I was stuck on the bench in the third, so so fuck you for that. I just wanted to get that one last thing in.
I love it.
All right, buddy.
Anytime you guys have me on, this was fun. I'd love to come back.
Love it. Guest
host. We're going to hit you up on that.
Yep.
All right, boys. Take it easy.
That interview was brought to you by Hims. Guys, have you ever looked at an old picture of yourself from a few years ago and think, damn, man, I used to be a lot younger looking. What happened to that dude? Start to look like maybe your parents a little bit. You're wondering where the wrinkles are coming from. You know, some things just get better with age, like wine, for example, a nice scotch. But it's not always the case when it comes to your face. And most guys don't do nearly enough to take care of their skin despite everything the skin does for us. Soap and water help, but they're not enough. You need something more. You want to go to 4hims.com. It's your one-stop shop for skincare, hair loss, sexual wellness for men. And you could fight against aging as well. That's the latest thing we got here at 4hims.com, the anti-aging kit. It's a custom prescription cream tailored to your skin that can keep your skin looking youthfully smooth by reducing the appearance of wrinkles and fine lines. The secret's not a secret. It's tretinoin, and its results are backed by science. It can renew and restore skin by increasing collagen, the protein that keeps your skin firm, and it only takes seconds to apply. You don't have to visit some fancy dermatologist to pay sky-high prices to get it. Just got to go online. It's nice and simple. Hims connects you with doctors online. They'll evaluate your skin needs and can prescribe you a custom anti-aging treatment. You want to look young? You want to feel like Robert Redford back in the day? Ask a millennial. Boom. Get on it. No more awkward in-person doctor visits, and the products are shipped directly to your door. It's your skin. Do you want to be a face in the crowd or the face in the crowd? Order now and save $20 off your first month of the Hims Anti-Aging Kit. Lock on those looks now and get your first month of anti-aging for $20 off. Go to 4hims.com/hockeysc. That's forhims.com/ HOCKEYSC. 4hims.com/hockeysc.
Oh man, Whit, that what a legend.
And you throwing the glove at Bugsy Malone.
I loved how he when he described it as when the oxygen basically stops going towards the brain.
He says, when I got tired, I did dumb things.
As
straight legged.
Everyone, obviously, we promised you Adam Oates last week coming on the podcast. We thought that this one was time sensitive. We thought Scott Hartnell, as RA would call him, deserved to be slid in that spot. I think we can all agree. What a warrior on the ice. He created a lot of excitement for us fans. And even as a player, I would pay attention to the highlights when he. Yeah, he was in the crease, but as a player, he earned that.
Yeah, he was just, I mean, like I told him at the end there, just kind of what you think of when you think of an old school hockey player, a grinding, tough ass winger in your face, falling over, Hartnell down, scoring greasy goals, being one of the biggest beauties in the locker room. So amazing career. I'm sure he's he'll enjoy the next couple of months, and then maybe I'll see him at NHL Network where I'm an analyst.
He's got a new baby.
I might get fired after calling Guy Lafleur the Rocket, though. That could be the end of me. I've had a bunch of instances where I think the end could be coming for me there.
And to touch more on that, I wasn't shitting on him either. I was just calling a spade a spade. Every time his name pops up in the media now, he's usually ripping on something or someone. So I mean, is there been any positives there, RA?
He tortured my fucking youth and beating the Bruins.
Oh, that's clever.
So that's a compliment. Okay. Yeah, so we can walk away this neutral.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's not a mob boss. I mean, you know, whatever. He said some dopey things. We can call him out for it. We don't have to kiss his ass, you know?
For everyone listening, maybe check in Tuesday and Wednesday on NHL Network. I'll be there. I got a new suit. Biz, this suit looks fresh.
How much? How much?
By the way, do you want to know a scummy thing about me at NHL Network? The analysts are going to be all over me. I have like four ties. I actually would appreciate if somebody lets me know where can I get ties. And I don't want to go in. I don't want to go anywhere. I hate doing anything in terms of shopping. And I'm not going to carry all my suits and shirts in. Can I send somebody somewhere pictures of my suits and shirts and they'll send me ties? Because right now at NHL Network, I just go around and I borrow guys' ties that they leave.
Wait, you need me to go out and get some ties for you? You need me to get some.
Oh, hey, we know where you shop, Grinnelli.
Grinnelli, I don't need a fucking tie from the New York City travel shop where you're buying me a tie that says I heart New York.
Hey, RA, why don't you send them some of yours? RA, send them some of yours.
I got some nice ties.
RA's never undone a button. They're all just around the loop and right behind the door. The knot's been tied since graduation.
Hey, he gets them at the Lost and Found from the school he works at.
Which looks like that meme, Scumbag Steve, right now, with the way he's got his hat on. You ever see that meme, Viz?
I am a scumbag.
Yeah, Scumbag Steve.
Brian Lawton's got great ties. I'll borrow a tie from him occasionally.
Oh, he's a handsome fella.
Oh, yeah. And then Jameson Coyle, he's got about 7,000 ties. He better know. He's probably listening. I'm going to be sneaking into your office and getting a tie for an outfit for me. So,
hey,
Grinnelli, I don't need you to get me ties. Maybe getting me in touch with someone who can get me ties.
I can't wait till we go somewhere and do something formal for the first time so I can get all fucking decked out and make
it. So, never. We're doing a Canadian tour. We weren't overalls.
Yeah, we're never getting dressed.
Whit. Rupp said he's going to come on.
Rupper came on before you joined.
Right, I know. And he'll come on and tell a story about when he beat the shit out of me. He gave me a conky. Oh, yeah. Cut me wide open. I was bleeding the box. I didn't even know where I was.
He's got polar bear mitts.
He's a bear. No, he's a bear. He's half man, half bear.
Fucking Stanley Cup clinching goal, man.
Two in that game.
Yeah, he did. That was a fucking great series.
He's like Carlson's
bombing around. He just looks smooth as shit right now. But hey, I saw a question. Over under 150 points combined for Carlson and Burns this year. Ooh, that's a lot.
I would say under. I would guess under.
That's what I was thinking. Under 75 each is a shitload.
And that's like basically if they stay healthy.
Yeah,
give me that question.
John Carlson led the NHL in a defenseman last year with 68 points. So yeah, give me the under on those two.
I didn't mean to be negative there. God, I'm going to reverse that. Are we allowed to put that in, Grinnell?
No, you're in. Like my rocket for Guy Lafleur, you're in. All right, boys.
That was
an interesting episode.
Wish them nothing but health.
I was just going to pour myself another New Amsterdam vodka on the rocks, the official vodka of the NHL and Barstool Sports. So go out, get some New Amsterdam vodka, and let us know what you think.
And
hey, drink responsibly. They got to drink responsibly, though. Or you can't have
that. You're not going anywhere. I mean, have a couple, for Christ's sake. And quickly, this is our last thing. Canadian listeners, we love you. We are grinding. And when I say we, it's Grinnelli is grinding to figure out how to get you guys product cheaper. Because right now you can't be paying $25 for a t-shirt and $20 to ship it. That's unacceptable. I'm on board with you there. We're going to get that price down. And then our merch is going to be flying all over Canada. People will be friggin' wearing it, right? It's going to be minus 30 in Edmonton. Somebody have a Chicklets t-shirt on.
Catholic schools are going to have to wear it as uniform. No, I'm serious.
Young Canadian.
I've already spoke with all the principals. Me and Grinnelli have been working on it. We've been going around like
big merch deal.
What are those?
We have to bring back the pony.
We should sell Chicklets shooter tooters. You know when you don't got a goalie, put the Chicklets thing in the middle, and then you know corners. By the way, corners top left, top right, bottom left, bottom right, five hole.
No, we don't shoot low.
Score in the high ones. You just had to slide it on the ice. Couldn't even get the five hole one.
Shut up, Whit.
All right, I'm out, boys.
Fucker.
Have a great weekend, everybody.